Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One. Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
This is Scotland versus Hungary. Stuttgart. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Well, that was tough to take. Scotland have dished out a few disappointments over the years. You can add this to the list. A Euros that promised so much in terms of colour and atmosphere and noise and backing, but delivered fairly little on the pitch as well. And in the cruelest fashion, a 100th minute goal from Hungary sends Scotland home to think again and have a look at where we go from here. So what did you make of it? 01419511025 on the phones, or live reaction here as well. This is sensational from Joe in Bishop Briggs, who's joined us already, because he was actually at the game. He must have sprinted out to come down and see us. Joe, how does it feel? Sum up the feelings. You're still smiling, which I'm surprised at.
I'm not. Absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. Just totally gutted.
Where did it go wrong?
I don't know, boys. Was that a penalty? I thought it was a penalty. Right in front of me, I thought it was a penalty.
You were in the game, you say right in front of you, thought it was a penalty. I think we would all obviously, I think, agree, Mark Wilson.
Yeah, well, we've seen it several times, and I'm still scratching my head at the minute to find out why it wasn't a penalty. Now, we know VAR looks at everything, and they would have looked at that, but again, why wasn't it given? Was it because Armstrong's arm was a bit high when he was trying to protect the ball to the defender? I don't think that's enough to then say that the contact on his calf wasn't a foul. For me, it was simply a penalty. We're so hard done by. We didn't create much, but when we did get in there, we certainly should have been given the opportunity from 12 yards to take the lead.
I agree. I can't farm out why the penalty kick wasn't given, Gordon. Then we had to go for it. It was a great saying. Have to go for it. 0-0, probably. Okay, could a point could have got us there, but I thought that we better be positive, go for it. Both teams went for it. We get caught in a sucker punch, and unfortunately, it's the end of our Euros. But I really am disappointed, because I think we've missed a trick tonight.
Yeah, you having seen it back, you know, at home, did it look like a penalty to you?
Well, they're going over it on television here, and clearly they're coming up with the conclusion that they're not entirely sure whether Armstrong might have fouled the Hungarian player as much as the Hungarian player might have fouled Armstrong. But I have to say, Gordon, if we're going to pin all our hopes on we would have won had that been a penalty, then I don't think that's accurate, because you go back over the chances that Hungary had, they hit the post before they scored and so on and so forth. I think in general terms, over the course of this tournament, and we may have gone out in the great Scottish fashion, we have snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. However, we have not done enough, and for the second major international tournament back to back, I cannot formulate a hard luck story out of all of this.
No, the thing is, they can be separate. You're allowed to say that was a penalty, Scotland were hard done by, and the tournament wasn't good enough overall. You know, it doesn't have to be that you're not allowed to complain about the penalty because you think we've not been good enough. I mean, our show revolves week on week about fans moaning about decisions their team didn't get. So we're not going to all of a sudden pretend that they don't matter.
No, I think you're right. Listen, I'm going to moan the fact that it wasn't a penalty, because I think it was all about the result tonight, never mind the performance. But when you flip it and you analyse it over the three games, we haven't been good enough. It's as simple as that. We have not been good enough. But my biggest disappointment is we put ourselves in a position, and tonight there was an opportunity there to go and really cement our place in history here. And we've failed at the hurdle again, and I think that's where the disappointment's coming from. I watched a Hungary team beat us that I was not really impressed with at all.
There were so few positives, sorry, to pick on from your point of view, that the penalty incident becomes such a huge one. I always believed that whoever lost the first goal in that...
We said it all along. It's not like that's hindsight. We said one goal wins this game.
Without doubt. And that penalty situation then becomes huge for us, because we weren't creating anything until then. So, like, I've seen it several times. For me, it's still a penalty kick. I don't think Stuart Armstrong does an awful lot wrong. And I'm surprised as anybody, and I'm sure a lot of people will be with me in that one.
But Joe, overall, it clearly wasn't good enough. If the league doesn't lie domestically, the league table in a group stage doesn't really lie, bottom of that group out, what do we feel about it overall?
I think we've just been Scotland and shot myself in the foot.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, it's like, you wonder about, I mean, where we've been is, you get these, we used to have these soul-searching moments when we didn't make tournaments. It's like we're making Euros, but now we're finding out that next step. And over the piece, you would say, like, and by the way, I don't want to split hairs here. I mean very roughly, right? Switzerland had chances, so did Hungary. But I mean very roughly, there's clearly not loads between us and Switzerland and Hungary. Like, Germany's a completely different kettle of fish when we played them. There's clearly not much there, difference-wise, hence why we drew one of them and it took 100 minutes to lose the other on the counter-attack.
Yeah, it's all about fine lines.
But what's that next? What's that next bit? What's that next step? And again, it's international football, so if you're not producing players to help you take the next step, what are you...
I think the next step is we have to... We spoke about the players after the last Euros, and you're thinking, right, okay, a bit of experience. More experience coming into this one. If we can go and qualify for another major tournament, we can take that on board. But we have to then analyse and go back and say, that's six games.
Yeah.
And it's the same results, right? As in, we lose the first one, we draw, and then we lose. And it's the exact same this Euros as well. Look, I've got to say, I would like to thank Steve Clark and the lads, because this is probably the first time I've ever went to a Euro competition for a full 12 days of it. And it's been unbelievable. What an experience. And I totally understand what the fans get out of this. But I just, my disappointment is we've got ourselves in a position that was there for us tonight. And I think when they reflect back in this, they've got to be really... We should have qualified tonight, in my opinion.
What do you think of that, Joe? Is it a missed opportunity?
Yeah, I think we qualified from a very hard group and then basically we fell off a cliff.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't much momentum going into the tournament, Mark. That story was told. It was just, I don't know, it's a bit of a, you know, it's like close, but what does that get you? You know, like I said, there's not much in two of those games, but it doesn't really matter at the end of the day when you finish bottom on 1 point.
Yeah, I mean, the run in this tournament, of course, everybody wants a good run in, but look, it's when you arrive here in Germany, you've got to be on the ball. That's what your preparation is for, and the time, you know, done in Garmisch is all about preparing. And then the players and the management team have got to deliver. It's not just the players. The tactics have got to be right. And you've got to... Have the tactics always been right? We criticised them against Germany.
I think they were wrong.
I think they were right against Switzerland. Tonight, it was all too samey for a long, long time. And I think Steve Clarke didn't want to lose the game for a long period before he actually went on to attempt to win the game. And that's the disappointing thing. I think the Scotland fans have every right to feel or to act greedy and want to go to the next stage. I really think, because it made a good point, when you qualify so well from a tough, tough group...
Yeah, you deserve to be there, don't you?
We're not here to make up the numbers. We're here to progress. And Daz makes a good point as well. Back-to-back tournaments, same results. Something's got to get better. And how do we do that?
See if I look at the overall, Gordon, just quickly, and it's very hard, and it's very hard to criticise Steve Clarke, because some...
I don't think it's that hard.
No, some coaches would have probably used the same method. We played Germany and we get the runaround right, and we played with 10 men second half. We put everything into Switzerland. I said earlier tonight that team looked flat to me, and it must have took a toll on them. And funny enough, I was going to pull Big Marvin up when he was on the show, because he was talking about, you know, a bit more freshness, a bit more sharpness in there, use the squad. We brought over a lot of players and a lot of good quality. Maybe when he looks back at it in hindsight, did we ask them to go to the well one more time?
Yeah.
Because when he did make the substitutions, Mark was right. We get in behind, we're making forward runs, we look sharper.
Yeah, thanks to Joe, who's here with us. He's been in the stadium, he's come out to join us, and he's as gutted as everybody else. Let's go to Robert, who's on the phone line. How are you, Robert?
I'm gutted, boys. I'd like to thank Stevie Sideways for getting us to the last two tournaments, European Championships, but I think it's time for him to go, boys. I was really disappointed with our performance tonight. It took us to the 108th minute to have a shot on target in one of the biggest, in fact, our biggest game in 4 years. I just don't see. I think he's tactically inept in European football, world football even. Scotland just didn't look as if they were a team that were going to get 3 points tonight.
Yeah, that's the thing. Look, Steve, there's no way. There is no way Steve Clarke can be exempt from criticism here. Not on any planet. I do wonder though, Robert. Does it? Did you think a tactically inept manager gets you through the qualification group the way he did?
I know we had a couple of good results in the qualifiers. We've beaten Spain but we're really good against Norway. We scored 2 goals in the last 5 minutes.
I just mean that, you know, the question exists. You've got 3 games at the tournament and it doesn't go well and fine, and like I say, I'm all on board criticism, it's fine. I'm just wondering about that phrase, does a tactically inept manager get you to back-to-back Euros with a particularly good camp, and by the way, a playoff in between as well? I just wonder if it's a bit strong.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. That, honestly, God, boys, that's one of the biggest games we've played in years tonight, and we never looked like scoring.
I think, Gordon, that tactically inept is harsh and insulting to a manager of Steve Clarke's calibre. However, I do think that the caller may have highlighted something about Steve Clarke having cause for reflection. Maybe not tonight, maybe tomorrow, but 2 tournaments back to back. The same ending to those 2 tournaments. 1 point, not creative enough, not enough attack-minded play. He got better when it went gung-ho tonight, when Morgan came on, and Shankland, and McLean. It got better when he realised that he was living on borrowed time and he better get these players on. But I wonder, he went round to a part of the ground on his own, Steve Clarke, and he waved bye-bye to people, and he went up the tunnel on his own while all of the players were out on the park. I wonder if tonight has given him cause for reflection about his own future. You reach a point where you say, have I gone as far as I can with this group of players?
How much of it do you think is the manager, Mark? And how much is that is inescapable fact, but it's a frustrating one because this is international football. You can't sign anybody. We don't have much of an attacking X factor. We just don't.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. But I said tonight, probably about 60 minutes, that it looked like the players themselves were being held back. I didn't see many forward runs. I didn't see Andy Robertson getting up to support his midfield like he did against Switzerland. Seeing a different side against Switzerland, it looked like they were being told to play that way. And I'm not saying that in reflection now, because we got beat. I said it at the time in the game. So, look, it was inevitable. As soon as this went badly for Scotland, that people would say, oh, Steve Clarke's run his race, because there was so much divide in how we went for this. We took calls, we took people in here saying, I wish Steve Clarke would go for it. Now, if he played the same way and won 1-0, you know, everybody would say, oh, he's a genius, and oh, that's the Steve Clarke way, and we get the job done. Of course, when you get beat 1-0 and you crash out the tournament again and you don't register that many shots on target, one on target, then that's a problem, that people are going to pick holes in your setup. Because Hungary, Daz is right, Hungary individually aren't any better than us, but they still managed 15 shots at our goal. And how many saves did Angus Gunn make? Yeah, and they hit the post and they score a goal. How does that come about? Is that players or is that tactics? That's tactics.
Gordon, are we in that sort of Steve Clarke out territory that Robert wants to take us to?
I think you'll get...
Not for you, though.
For me? No, I think Steve Clarke deserves to continue in the job, Gordon. But I'd like to see...
He's not even in the dressing room yet, probably. I knew that would happen, to be fair. It's inevitable when things don't go.
But I'd like to see him continue, because he has achieved what he's achieved, getting us to these tournaments. It's just, can he progress as a coach when he gets to the big stage? Right, because I think he'll look back on a lot of things. I thought he had game plans, and he probably has, because I think he must be a terrific coach and everybody talks so highly. But we brought over a big... Tonight, for me, I looked at our players and I thought a lot of them had ran their race long before 60, 70 minutes. And it was because of when you play against a team where you're continually, and I'm talking about Germany, you're chasing the ball, you're chasing shadows.
10 men.
In second half, 10 men. Takes so much out of you. You then get into a pressure cooker that you've got to get a result to keep us alive for this game. That mentally takes a lot out of you. I know it's easy to say, oh, we made our substitutions tonight, it looked fresher, we started getting in behind Armstrong and Shankland or whatever. I think he's looked at this and I think he's called us wrong, but I'm not shouting for him to be removed, because I think he's brought us here, he's achieved that, we were so close tonight, but he's got to learn from it. As a coach.
Steve Clark must go, says Robert on the line. But how do you feel? 01419511025. We'll take more calls next.
Scotland versus Hungary. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Live from Stuttgart.
Yes, the dust beginning to settle on a disappointing, heartbreaking, insert whatever negative word you want here, because Scotland are out of the Euros and the fans and players are heading home. 01419511025 if you'd like to join us on the phone, and please do so. Martin is joining us live here though. Martin, how would you sum up how it feels to be a Scotland fan tonight?
It sort of feels like it always feels, really, doesn't it? You know, a sort of sucker punch. I guess, you know, we weren't a sort of glory failures today, were we? I don't think we turned up, really. I thought the first 60 minutes was quite tactical. Both sides sort of matched each other up. But as the game stretched, I thought they looked much more dangerous. In fact, I'm not even sure we've had a shot on goal over the 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to keep up. I know Grant Hanley had one, but then was there a foul given? Shea Adams had one over the bar, obviously. The, you know, some balls flashed across. We certainly had, I don't know, opportunities later, Mark. Not loads, I'm not trying to suggest that, but nah, there wasn't much doing.
Well, and I think that's the problem on reflection, and where we're going to get most of the calls and comments from that are negative towards Steve Clark and the setup tonight. That a game that we didn't need to win, let's be honest. You know, a draw probably wouldn't have taken us through anyway, but we needed to win. It's okay setting up the same way, but when it takes on the same pattern for such a long period of time and nothing changes, then that is a problem. And I just highlighted it moments ago that the amount of efforts that Hungary had, at least they were up the pitch to have those efforts. We struggled to get anywhere near the Hungarian box until the closing probably 15 minutes. And even at that, did their goalie make any saves apart from the Hanley one? Did he?
It's simple for me, but I don't think we did enough, especially in the final third, to win a game that was so important. It was going to be a set play or a ball that falls in the box and we can take an odd chance. We didn't look like we had patterns of play that we're going to cut them home, get behind, get balls over, Shankly. It just looked like crossing our fingers and hoping something was going to fall.
That's a good
it.
Point. And this isn't the scattergun approach, but the set pieces we've seen in this tournament, Austin McPhee is well renowned for being a set piece coach, and he works at a very high level, and we've scored some good set pieces in the qualification campaign and through his time. I think they've been so poor. It looks like a case
it not
of
mostly been the delivery, though? The delivery's been poor, and that he can't take them.
But the delivery, every delivery's just been the same.
That's what I mean, though. That's like player error.
I know it's missed it's hit the first man.
Yeah.
But all we've looked to do is go to the back post. Now, the delivery's been poor, but it's not like we've worked. Like, Hungary had one tonight where they worked a corner that everybody went in. So our set pieces have been poor as well, and that's not having a scattergun. But if that's what you're pinning your hopes on getting a goal from, then create something. But we didn't do that throughout the three games.
I really hope one of these other results goes the other way in the coming days, Martin, because if we look back and realise that a draw would have been enough there, and we were drawing until the 100th minute, it's going to be even harder to take. But I suppose maybe that's just a sort of second point.
It is, look, obviously 2 points if we'd got through, you know, we'd have taken it, but and probably we should have had a pen. You know, I think Armstrong could have got the shot off, but I do think he was connected in his calf. I'm surprised that VAR never had a look at that. But I don't think we did enough to win, did we? And I think, I mean, building on I think Gordon's point there was, you know, and it might be we've just not got the right quality up front, but we didn't create much at all in the final third. So I thought they were the better side over the piece. Yeah. They created the better chances. The boys should have scored earlier before we did. Of course, McTominay could have got one late on. But overall, I think we got what deserved.
What we lack is width in the team, right? Yeah. I know Andy Robertson, everybody talks about how terrific he is. Not having a go. Andy Robertson's probably a left back. Ralston's a right back. Tonight, you've seen us. Ralston and Robertson never once get really in behind their defence and give us a win.
Just quickly on Andy Robertson, I'm not saying you're wrong. I think he was fit. I think Andy Robertson was fit tonight.
I think a lot of them were.
Him in particular.
Running on
him in particular.
I can't answer that, Gordon. No,
I'm saying, what do you think? How do you think he looked?
Well, when I seen Andy Robertson against Switzerland, especially in the second half, the way he finished it, strong runs up and down the flank, causing, trying to get in behind. I didn't see that tonight. Yeah. In fact, I didn't even see Andy Robertson, if I'm honest with you. So you may have a point that, you know, he ran his race, but he's a captain of the country. He wanted to go out there, wanted to lead by example. Obviously, he gets substituted because of, and he looked like he was limping when he came off.
He looked tentative in everything he done.
All along, yeah. but he looked physically off it.
Well, even when he got the ball, he always kind of looked to go back. And that wasn't the Robertson we seen the other night against Switzerland. And then, you know, it resulted in what we seen at the end. He couldn't get out to close his man down and he limps off in the end. But I wonder if he was carrying something or if he was just playing below his level and then took a knock late on.
Yes, Hugh?
I think it's a very interesting point that you raise. Because not only did he look spent, I thought that Callum McGregor has looked spent, even though he was involved in the build-up to the goal that we scored against Switzerland. John McGinn, everybody's idea of the great hope that we have, the great fans' favourite, John McGinn has struggled in every game of this tournament. And that's through no fault of his own. I think the McGinns, the McGregors, they are coming to the end of a tumultuous season that they've had at club and international level. And I simply think that this tournament for Andy Robertson, McGinn, McGregor, they didn't have the energy levels to cope with it.
But I agree with you in the first two games, McGinn. I thought McGinn was slightly better tonight. And that is then agreeing with you because he didn't play to John McGinn's level that we're used to. But he was slightly better tonight. Can't argue with him on Andy Robertson. Switzerland game in the second half, a bit better. But Callum McGregor, yeah, he was quiet. And I even thought at the end there, could he have taken that opportunity on a bit quicker? I need to see it back again. But I just thought he was a bit hesitant, which allowed them to get in and defend the situation, go up the other side.
You forget, for anyone who can't remember what Mark's on about, Callum McGregor's got a chance to shoot the goal from about 5 yards, but he can't quite get there. It's not necessarily his fault, but it gets nicked off him and they score. Martin, how does all this reflect on Steve Clarke?
Well, it doesn't reflect well, does it? And it's maybe a tournament, just listen to you guys there, is it a tournament where the big players didn't turn up for us? You know, we've mentioned big good pros there that didn't turn up, and you know, maybe the squad players were the ones who put the shifts in. So, look, Steve Clarke, he's not done himself any favours, has he? I mean, how many games is it without
it's
wins?
It's only the Gibraltar one, isn't it?
There's
not many.
12. So I think one win in 12.
There you go. And look, so for any club manager, you could be hounded by the fans there. So he's going to get a lot of criticism. He's obviously well thought of, but I think your point, Mark, that we could have picked the formation in the team, couldn't we? We sort of know how Scotland are going to turn up, and they didn't change really until it really stretched after about 90 minutes. It didn't really change at all, and I think so. Any international manager is going to know how we turn up.
I think it's very easy after a game to, as Mark used the phrase, scattergun, right? But if you're a manager and you sit down, you look at that back three. When we play a back three, Tierney is so important to it because he breaks forward with Robertson and McGregor, and that's a triangle. We had three players tonight, and Hungary decided, give us the ball and we'll just sit off you. And they played three and one striker. We took three against one. Not one of the back men broke into the middle of the park and tried to cause problems and then go and play passes. So if you look at it in an ideal world, it would have been better playing my back four. and having more.
You wanted to stay three before the game.
No. But when I look at it in an ideal world, if you're two centre backs, the two outside centre backs, and they give you the ball and sit off you. You cannot just sit and play a corner. You've got to break into the middle of the park and cause overloads against opposition.
Suppose the temptation, Mark, there was, it was obvious, yeah, it's wrong in hindsight if Gordon feels that way, but it was to keep it structurally close to what it's always been, and therefore there's that familiarity and people know how it works or should. And also, individually, I feel like the back three defended pretty well in a strange way, and they cleared a lot of balls that come in at the box. They were excellent from set pieces. But obviously, it's that next bit then, it's that attacking bit. So how do you weigh it up?
Well, of course, that's what we're looking at now, because we've lost the game 1-0 and we've had so few sights of goal. So we're now, how could we make it better? But you're right, Steve Clark is a manager who's always been conscious of keeping things tight at the back. So we were always going to start with a three. We discussed it since the game on Wednesday, and I was firmly a believer that he should have done that. But as the game wears on and you see the same patterns, then the real top, I think, elite managers will change things quickly and adapt quickly. And we didn't, by the way, when we did go to a four for a short period, that's when we looked better. Whether that was a mix of the personnel that was coming on or the shape or whatever, we looked better and we got more territory up the pitch. So I don't know if he'll stray, if he still is Scotland manager. I don't know if he'll stray for that formation, but tonight, as the game wore on, it certainly hampered us.
Martin, up the road tomorrow.
Yeah, back to Edinburgh tomorrow.
Back to reality.
Look, I've spent time with some good friends, I've enjoyed the weekend, but you know, the football's disappointing. I actually didn't mind us for the first 60 minutes. I didn't mind us, but when the game stretched, I don't think we affected the game enough, and that was a real disappointment.
Some really good points well made, Martin. Thank you very much. What about the phone lines? Jim's in Aberfoyle. How do you look back on it, Jim?
I was, to say disappointed would be putting it mildly. To have 80% possession in the first half and not have one shot on goal. And I'll say this, unbiased, Callum McGregor had one good pass in the entire tournament. Ryan Jack should have started or been brought on at half-time to replace him, because Callum McGregor done nothing the entire game.
Ryan Jack should have played instead of Callum McGregor.
Ryan Jack's not played enough football, and you know, I like Ryan Jack as a football player, but that wasn't our problem tonight. It certainly wasn't our problem. I keep going back to if we've got 80% of the possession, let me see how much of the possession we had with the back three, because Hungary let us have the ball. It's as simple as that. They let, especially first 25-30 minutes, they let the back three have the ball. And when the back three have got the ball and they're playing square passes, they're going to keep it against one, which leaves you 9v7 in the forward areas. And that's where Hungary, that's why we couldn't create anything. There's nothing up the formation when Tierney's playing, right? Because Tierney's brilliant. He goes and he commits. When we don't commit, we've got 9v7 in there. We're not going to dictate the game in there.
We'll take all suggestions after a disappointment like that one. Hugh, where does Ryan Jack should have played instead of Callum McGregor sit with you?
No, for me, that's the possibility of letting club rivalry get in the way here. I just think that we did not play well enough. From the German game was a disaster. The Switzerland game, we went toe-to-toe, we slugged it out and we rode our luck. And we got the draw that built up the hopes of the country. And tonight, we have not done enough to win that football match. And we go out of the tournament with disappointment, but let's not have delusion along with the disappointment. We didn't do enough over the course of the tournament to deserve anything other than what has happened, and that is the repeat of history. Fall at the final hurdle and go home.
Final word to you, Jim.
Why did he take Ryan Jack if he'd no chance in the final? Why take him?
Well, that could apply to James Forrest as well. Why take James Forrest and never show him a minute of game time?
Forrest should have started this game as well, or been brought on at half time. Because we had better players on the bench than what were brought into the park. Now, Steve Parker,
I mean, that sounds a bit hindsight, though, doesn't it?
That's not true.
And also, I get it because we've all been there. But you take 26 players, you're not using 26 over three games. You're not using even close to 26 over three games. You're just not. It's just what tournament football is.
The only thing I will sort of agree slightly, right, that I would criticise, I don't think we used the squad enough. You look at against Switzerland.
Yeah, that game in particular.
Right, we brought in substitutions with 4 minutes to go, Gordon. Right, so you've asked these players to go to the well, as they call it, time and time again. Now, would you pick the team tomorrow if you're playing the biggest game? You would have McTominay, McGinn, McGregor, Gilmore, guys like that. Of course you would. They are big players. Unfortunately, I totally agree with you. We have not done enough.
Can't argue with that. That's why you're heading home in the morning. Thank you to Jim on 01419511025. And we'll take more of your calls or more reaction from the Scotland fans here in Stuttgart after these.
Live from Stuttgart, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's nearly midnight here in Germany, but the disappointment, well, I was going to say, is running deep amongst the Scotland fans, and I guess it is, but I can still see people sort of laughing and cheering and drinking beer and dancing around. I suppose that's all you can do when you're here in party mode. Liam joins us on the show, though. Liam, how does it feel when you look back on that tonight and the tournament as a whole?
I would say missed opportunities. I would say, do you know what? It's good to be here. It's good to be at a tournament. Scotland have done nothing for years. We made it to Germany. We gave it a good crack. Disappointing in the end, but we're going to be back. We've got a few games. We're in the Group A of the Nations League. Brilliant. We've gone on leaps and bounds under Steve Clarke. Disappointing tonight, but we go forward. We've got big tournament coming down the way. We can make it to the World Cup. It's going to be terrific.
I mean, I wouldn't mind that.
Scotland are on the way up.
I still believe it. What was on the way up about this tournament? This was not. There was no up about
Switzerland.
It.
Switzerland.
Yeah, but the one draw in a tournament's not on the way up.
Switzerland was a great performance tonight. Listen, that was a 50-50 game. Towards the end, that could have gone either way. We should have had a penalty, let's be honest. I've not seen it back, but
yeah, I mean, we all agree with that.
All my WhatsApp messages saying that was a penalty for Scotland. So, listen, it's a 50-50
one. I think that bit, Gordon, that bit's true. I think it was a 50-50. They scored in the 100th minute because we were pressing the other end. That's fine, okay, but not sure anyone how we back up the notion that Scotland are on the up after that. And if you want to, if your sample size is the last 25 years, then yeah, well, we are. You know, we've made two tournaments, but we're not on the up after that tournament.
No, it's, for me, it's been a disappointing tournament, and it got off to a disappointing start. We sort of swept under the carpet saying, well, it was Germany, it was a host nation, we went down to 10 men. We get beat 5-1 going on anything they wanted. So we went into a pressure game after that. I don't think we were tremendous against Switzerland. I think what we were very good at was it was all about the result to keep this alive for tonight. And what you said there about we missed a great opportunity, I do agree with that. Okay, the stats say up there that Hungary had more shots at goals and everything, and we had the 80% possession, but all our possession...
Listen, there is an eye test. We all just watched that game. It's not like any of us felt, oh man, these are a really good side. We're struggling to... You know, it just wasn't that.
I think I do agree. I think the boys, Scotland lads, will look back in this and think, do you know what? That was staring us right in the face and we didn't grab it.
What do you think?
I'd say look at the last 15 minutes. McGinn's off the park, Robertson's off the park. Like, how many games, how many injuries they've had this season? Our two best players couldn't last 90 minutes. And then our shape was all over the place last 10 minutes because they were going for the game because they needed to win. I mean, personally, I mean, would you want to be... Like, try go through at 2 points. I mean, and then watching those games, the next round of games. At least they gave it a crack. They didn't go through. They're going to move on.
See, I think that's where a lot of the Tarn Army will disagree with you. They'll say that they didn't give it a crack. They didn't give it their best.
Last 10 minutes they did.
Yeah, listen, but you're not going to survive in a tournament in the last 10 minutes when you've got 90 plus minutes against a team that, okay, they're ranked better than us, but they didn't impress me at all. I think a lot of Scotland fans listening to this will say, do you know what? That's where we let ourselves down. We didn't give it a go.
Yeah. But what's the alternative though? Like, I know there'll be lots of, like, a lot of my mates are saying Steve Clarke out, Steve Clarke's run aground. I don't believe that for a second.
I think he's done
a phenomenal job. He has turned around Scotland. 100% he's turned around Scotland. Maybe Shankland should have been given more than, I don't know how many minutes. Shankland's had the whole tournament, maybe about 20. Shankland probably should have had more minutes for Scotland, but, I mean, listen, I'm still optimistic about Scotland.
Hugh, I suppose that the Steve Clarke one is difficult because... Yeah. When you're the guy that raises the bar, then you deserve praise for raising the bar. But then you get judged against that as well, and people look for progress. So I don't think these sort of questions of Steve Clarke and whether it's the solution going forward, to have that discussion, I don't think is inappropriate. Yeah. I think to rewrite history and claim that he's this absolute dud, has never done anything and would be well short of him, no doubt about it, that's clearly exaggerated. So exactly. I don't know, where do you sit on it?
I mean, and who else would they be?
Well, first of all, I don't join any Clarke must go movement. What I'm interested in tonight is how Steve Clarke personally reflects on his 5 years in management. We've now gone back-to-back tournaments, which is to his eternal credit. But have we stopped progressing? That's the question he will ask himself. Are we going backwards or forwards? He may decide that he can get more out of these players and bring in the ones who were denied us, the Nathan Pattersons, the Aaron Hickeys, the Lewis Fergusons. He may decide that, or he may look at it and think, maybe somebody else might be able to progress them more than I can. That is a decision which is purely for Steve Clarke to take. The SFA will put him under no pressure whatsoever. The fans can start the scatter gun anytime they like, but no one's going to listen to that either. It's entirely about Steve Clarke tonight and how he feels this is progressing, because there is no hard luck story. We didn't do enough. And the previous tournament, all right, a false tournament because of the COVID restrictions and what have you, but over those two tournaments, we haven't done enough to convince that we are anytime soon going to be major players at a major international tournament.
I think that's not, you can't disagree with that, Mark, and at the same time, that's what you just have to be. I don't know if it's that killer instinct, is it getting your big moments right? Because the way this tournament's formatted, you only play three times, and as we've covered with 5 minutes to go or 10 minutes to go, it's like one moment in your favour sends you through and everything's great, and one moment against you sends you out and everything's up in the air. It's very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's bound to be quite knee-jerk either way.
Yeah.
So I said that we got a corner. In fact, I think I said it as we took that corner that they broke from. That corner ends up in the net. We're all going crazy and saying this is history-making, but ended up in the net at the other side, and here we are saying Steve Clarke needs sacked. So it's a fickle old business, international football, isn't it?
Without doubt, because you progress so much to get to these tournaments, and then, like you say, so much dependent on three games, and within those three games, you're pitted up against teams who are ranked higher than you in the FIFA rankings, who have got world-class players at the top end of the pitch, and if you don't do well, then, you know, fans, the way football is now, fans just want managers and coaches sacked pretty instantly. So it's not about that, but Hugh makes a good point. Are we going forward? Are we going backwards? The minute, I don't think we're doing either. I think we're standing still. And I've made the point all along, when Scotland have got to back-to-back tournaments, the next stage is for us to win a game there, to take us forward a step. And we had that opportunity tonight, and we should have taken it.
Maybe a very simplistic view of things, Gordon, but maybe that is then about seeing if you can get back to another one. So you get to one and you don't do well, the next step is probably to get to another one, which we did. So I take Mark's point, but maybe I don't know how fans' patience levels work, but you know, does the pressure to progress then come more in the next one? I know it sounds quite defeatist, but when you've only been at two since 1998, it's hard to raise that bar too much.
Yeah, but you look at the two and you can't really say that we've learned right? You've got
that's
to learn.
That's Mark saying it's a kind of standing still.
Yeah, you've got to learn a general. I totally agree. I'm not in here to say Steve Clark must go. But I think that Steve Clark is the same as any player, anybody in any walk of life. You've got to learn. You've got to keep progressing. Is he at the stage where he's gone to that bar that he just can't go over the next hurdle? We've seen it a million times with players and managers and coaches and everybody involved. So I don't know. Only Steve Clark will answer that. I'm not sitting here after a disappointing tournament saying he must go because I've enjoyed the fact that he brought us here. But we have to start moving in a forward direction.
But here's the bit that makes it all more wide-ranging, Mark, and why I know why we do it as football fans. We do it in this show all the time. We look for a silver bullet. Well, it's just Steve Clark's fault. You just get rid of Steve Clark and then things will be better. Or, you know, we will look for that one thing that fixes everything. This was the oldest squad in the group, in the tournament. Scotland had the oldest squad in the tournament. So if you're now going to ask Steve Clark to progress this squad again, fine, and that's his job as a manager. Andy Robertson's now getting into his 30s, and John McGinn's getting into his 30s, and Callum McGregor's getting into his 30s. But I can see you're frowning. They were the oldest squad at the tournament, that's a fact.
But the players you mentioned are class players.
Listen, they've been excellent. I'm talking about progress from here.
Who can absolutely play in the qualifiers for the World Cup.
Absolutely.
Could probably even play in the next Euros
absolutely.
As well.
Then what though?
Class
then what?
Acts. He did try and bring like Ben Doak.
Is anything negative in your world though?
Absolutely.
I like
it. you're very optimistic.
It was horrible to watch. That was, and I'm a Hibs fan.
We're getting there.
I'm a Hibs fan.
Seen some bad stuff.
I've seen horror shows all my life, and that was tough to watch. But I'm just choosing to take a different view. And like the players you mentioned can be stalwarts for Scotland for the next 4 years. Clark did try to bring in Doak and all that sort of stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's thin gruel with younger players. Like
exactly, and that is my point. When you're looking to progress from here, I'm not saying Andy Robertson now retires from international duty. Far from it. What I'm saying is, if you're looking for them to now continually keep getting better, you might be up against it.
Look, and that's not going to happen. Being ex-footballers, we know what happens when you get to those ages. That things very rarely get better. Only like Ronaldo and Messi.
Like
and
I say, I'm not saying getting worse. I'm not saying retirement, but is there going to be marked improvement?
Well, who knows? Look, there was a lot wrong with this tournament before we even kicked the ball. Thinking amount of players and young players, you mentioned Doak, Verliam, who had to drop out the squad. Had we had the full squad, would have looked different. Who knows?
Hickey would have
made a difference. Patterson as a backup right back would have made
an option.
Dykes is an option. You know, so loads of things could have made a difference.
Well, I have to say, it has been an absolute pleasure. I know that sounds bizarre. It's been a life-changing or a memorable experience that we'll all take it. No, but seriously, though, serious heads for a second. It has been incredible, hasn't it? Football, rubbish. And we'll get to that, I'm sure, as the summer progresses.
It's a life experience, Gordon. It's been something else, something that I've never experienced. I've been in football a long time, but to come here and experience these 12 days has been something special.
Not a lot excites me, but I've got to say this has been a fantastic trip, a fantastic experience, as Mark quite rightly says. Just watching the Tartan Army come over here and their droves and how they celebrate and how they go about their business. Brilliant, Gordon.
Hugh Keevans, don't worry, we will speak to you soon. We will be home and we will all reunite, but we are almost out of time. A Euros that promised so much and delivered little. A truly unbelievable experience for those who were here, but on the pitch it did not go to plan, and now the fallout begins. We're back tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your night.